This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, a fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. Mask of Guilt, Mask of Illumination, Book 1 is out. We all wear masks, some of us to hide our guilt. Lady Finari, lost in the malaise of depression, finds purpose with a group of all-women thieves, the Crack Gems. Intrigue, romance, betrayal, and adventure swirls around her in this epic fantasy tale. Today, I'm joined by J.C. Kung. He is the author of the fantasy novel Songs of Insurrection, a Legends of Tavara story, the Dragon Song Saga Book 1.
How are you doing today, J.C.?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's great to have you. I would like to start these things out with an easy question. So what is your favorite author?
Who is my favorite author?
Yeah.
Wow, the list would be long, but, you know, I just finished reading Six of Crows by Leigh Bardugo. I had watched Shadow and Bone on Netflix, and I enjoyed the show. I read book one, and I was like, this is very paint-by-numbers YA, and it didn't do it for me. But then I read Six of Crows, and I was blown away. I think that might have become my favorite fantasy book. And I'm currently on the sequel to Six of Crows, which is Crooked Kingdom, which is even better than Six of Crows. So at this present second, I'd have to say that Leigh Bardugo is my favorite fantasy author.
Awesome. I've never heard of him or her.
Well, Shadow and Bone, if you have Netflix, check it out. And then if you enjoy it, it probably saves a lot of time that way.
Yeah, that's why I just don't watch any of that stuff anymore. I spend all my time writing. So, plus, I don't know, all the shows have been getting terrible. So anyways, so how long have you wanted to be an author, J.C.?
Well, you know, I read the Dragonlance series back when I must have been 13 at the time. And I think after reading Dragons of Autumn Twilight, I wanted to become an author right there and then. And so I even tried to write my own book, which is basically a ripoff of Dragons of Autumn Twilight's first chapter. So probably, yeah, from middle school.
Yeah. I found the Dragonlance books to be very inspiring. Not the Margaret Weis, Tracy Hickman ones, which are really good, but like the other ones that were terrible. And I thought, well, I could write as badly as these books. And here I am, like in that age, 13, 14, going like, these are terrible, but I could write this badly. So maybe why can't I be an author? That was my thought process. Dragons of Autumn Twilight is amazing.
Yeah, well, actually, Dragons of Winter Night is my favorite of the original trilogy. But I think overall, it was just such a textured world. And, you know, I had already read, you know, the Chronicles of Narnia, Elric, of course, Lord of the Rings and everything. And those were great. I really enjoyed those. But I think it was really Dragonlance that made me want to become an author. Now, that said, it took about 20 some years before I actually even started writing anything for real.
Yeah. Their Deathgate cycle, though, I found really inspiring in how they had just crazy worlds that weren't medieval fantasy. So I really liked that. So, yeah. You ever read their Deathgate cycle?
I'm sorry. Oh, the Deathgate cycle. No, yeah. I have it on my shelf, but I have yet to read it. My brother's ex-fiance highly recommended it, and it's been sitting there for about 10 years.
Well, so. This is a recommendation from someone that didn't break your brother's heart. It's a good series. Even the ending's not so great, but
it's actually my brother broke her heart, but that's besides the point.
Okay.
So
I'm gonna give your brother the benefit of the doubt.
Well, that's very kind of you. But in any case, yeah, I'm more of an audiobook consumer these days, so I don't really actually have much time to read.
Yeah,
because of writing.
Yeah, and I don't think Deathgate Cycle is an audiobook, sadly.
I wouldn't know. That said, I recently, just last week, I I'm a reviewer for Fantasy Faction, and so I oftentimes, you know, flaunt that title about to try to get books from publishers, and I got an advanced copy of Shelley Parker Chan's She Who Became the Sun, and it's like 400 pages long, and I read that in like 2.5 days, and these are like working days too. I actually read it in 2.5 days. I was so just engrossed by the story. So I do read sometimes, but most of the time I'm listening to an audiobook.
Yeah, so I got an ARC once from Tor for Stephen Erickson's the first of his Carbaron trilogy.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't remember what the book is called. Son of Darkness, I believe. And I didn't like that it didn't come with a map. It just said, like, map will be here later in the front. I was like, no, I love maps.
It's like every fantasy book needs a map.
Right. You know? It's just like map forthcoming, I think is what it said. And I was like, ah. But I read it, and then I didn't ever review it, so I'm really terrible. This is back when I was just a reader. Back. So, JC, let's talk about your book, Songs of Insurrection. What's it about?
So, Songs of Insurrection at its core has two narratives. One follows a naive girl with the perfect voice to invoke lost magic, which is called the Dragon Song. And then the secondary arc follows a pair of ninja spies who are trying to uncover a plot against the Emperor. And then, of course, both arcs meet towards the end.
Okay. So there's kind of a very Asian influence to your setting?
Yeah, it sort of has a feel of Imperial China and a little bit of feudal Japan merged into one. There's also what would be considered an East Indian character as well.
Okay. So let's talk about your main character. Who is she? What's her name?
Her name is Kaya, or Kaya, if you want to take out the tones in Mandarin Chinese. And she is basically a 16-year-old who she is the daughter of the emperor, and her lot in life is to marry somebody for a political alliance. But she's been raised on these legends of the Dragon Singers, who were these people who are able to invoke magic through music. The idea was that dragons taught humans how to invoke this type of magic. And so she always dreams of, because she enjoys music so much, she always dreams of becoming a dragon singer herself, even though they have since faded into legend. And so the story is about her discovering the power of her voice.
Okay. And these are probably more like the Eastern dragons, right? The more serpentine ones, yes?
The overall world building was influenced by, you know, somewhat by Western fantasy and somewhat by Eastern fantasy. So there are both Western style winged dragons and wingless dragons as well. Or I should say there's one of each now left in the world.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah. So are you Chinese, if it's not too rude for me to ask?
Oh my gosh. No, yeah, no. Yeah, I'm ethnically Chinese.
Okay, yeah. That's cool. Because you mentioned the tones things, and like, even if I think if I was writing something based off of, that's like a hard thing to get across in English prose, I would imagine. The tone, is it? Or is it actually easy? I don't know, I've never tried to write it.
Well, I don't include the tones. I just write the names out. And okay. So I don't, one of the more difficult things was trying to choose names that work well in both English and Chinese. The original name was kind of, She had a placeholder name, let's say, and then some of my early critique partners were like, no, we can't use that name because it doesn't work. And so, you know, you kind of have to, you know, think about that. And so I try to choose names that work well, that sound okay in English, and that like an English speaker would be able to, you know, at least come close to.
Okay. Yeah, I find that when I'm doing fantasy, you can get some really bizarre names if you're not careful. I like to keep my main characters at least kind of in the realm of English speakers, since that's, of course, you know, the language I'm writing in, and you know, for them to be able to pronounce easily. And then I'll have more maybe side characters that might have more crazy names, or
with lots of apostrophes and like classical, lots, yes, of A's and Z's.
Yeah. Oh, I use Bantu once for a basis for a culture's like names and stuff, and That created a lot of very difficult for English speaker words.
Yeah, I know.
And then my poor audiobook narrator had to pronounce them.
Yeah, I think when it comes to audio, that's when you realize how crazy some of our names are. Just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I chose this name. Or yeah, when you do a live reading and you read it out loud, like, oh my god. So.
Yeah, well, I kind of had like an idea of how to say their names like in my head. So at least I think I said, I'm not sure if I probably got the sounds quite right, but at least I could usually say them without mangling them if I'm kind of prepared. But having to write like the pronunciation guide out for my audiobook narrator for some of those names, he nails them, so that's something.
Yeah, I say this, but one of the secondary characters, her name is spelled J-I-E, which in Mandarin would read as Jie.
Okay.
But then everyone pronounces it G. So I'm getting that sometimes when I talk to, like at a convention, I had this guy come up and say, oh, I loved your books and I loved this person. And it took me a minute. Like, okay, who the heck is he talking about? And then was able to make the connection.
Yeah, I kind of have that. Like, I had a character named Shailene. But I spell it C-H instead of S-H because it's like a French derivative. So it's very like Shailene. But people don't see it that way.
Hey, how about this Chilene?
Yeah. Right, yeah. But yeah, that's the fun of writing fantasy. And what was your writing process like on it? Are you like a plotter or a pantser?
I am definitely a planter. I think I know where I want to start and where I want to go, and that middle can be a real, real thorn in the side sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think part of it is that I have an idea of what certain plot points are, and you got to figure out a way how to make these characters get to those plot points because, it sounds very cliche, but sometimes characters do think for themselves, or rather they. Once you get to know their personalities, you realize they wouldn't do what you wanted them to do. So you have to find another way to get them from point A to point C to D to F to G to, how it all works.
Yeah. So
I'm definitely a planter. And for example, I just yesterday released a book that's a combination of like sort of a cyberpunk and progression fantasy. And I had started it last year and during the pandemic, it was just really hard to write. And so I gave up on it about 70,000 words in, but I had it on a 1-year pre-order. So I had to come back and finish it. So when I went to finish it, I came up with all these ideas towards the end. And so I had to go back and sort of seed it into earlier chapters, but that made it more fun. I mean, I was really dragging on the story for a while, but then once I actually got to it, I was like, this is fun. So I think the pantsing aspect really can come in handy sometimes.
So you put it up for a pre-order on Amazon a year in advance.
I'm sorry?
So you put it up on Amazon for a pre-order a year in advance.
Yeah, pre-orders can go for 1 year now. And so last year in May, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to give myself 1 year to finish this, and I know that'll hold me accountable.
And okay, that's right. It's a deadline that you have to make because Amazon gets very mad at you when you push up.
Yes. So never happened to me, but I've had several friends who've lost their pre-order privileges.
Yeah, you lose them for like a year if you move the date. I think once you get within a certain window,
You can always move it up, but it's just if you move it back, then Jeff isn't too happy with us.
Yeah. So I want to talk about your cover. You have some really beautiful covers, and I'm just curious, what was the process like for getting those covers made?
Well, I should be a cautionary tale with covers. If you go back and do a search on the Dragon Scale Lute, you will see what the original Songs of Insurrection looks like. And it screams YA, Asian Regency, romance. And so, I've had a lot of costly mistakes with covers, let's just say that. And so if you go to the website Fantasy Book Critic, I have done a few cover reveals there. And there's one for Thorn of the Night Blossoms. And if you read that, then that'll sort of tell you how I kind of learned what my audience was and how I wanted to reach them. But oftentimes, basically, once I know, I kind of know who my audience is. It's basically women who are 30 and up. And so they tend to like seeing women in armor or women in pretty dresses. And so that tends to be the covers I go for. And I've used several different artists. The one I've been using lately is a man in Vietnam. He's not great with deadlines. So it's very hard to rely on him if I'm under deadline. So I have a few other artists in reserve just in case.
Awesome. Yeah, it can be difficult to find a good reliable artist that doesn't just like vanish on you.
Yeah, oftentimes what I do, I either draw stick figures or I do Photoshop to put a collage of different poses together. But oftentimes what I've found is that artists can come up with better ideas than I can. So sometimes I just tell them, look, I want this, this, and this, and you put it together and we'll tweak from there. And it hasn't really gone wrong in most cases. I think that most artists have a much better, concept of composition than I do. So I think trusting them to do it is the way to go.
Yeah, I give them, like, here's what the character looks like, you know, and kind of this is kind of what I want on the cover, and, you know, and then just see what they come up with. I'm waiting for the previews on the first 5 books of the series I'm working on right now, so hopefully they will be great.
Yeah, it's always interesting to work with artists. but I think that I definitely wanted some who could do a certain look, and that has that sort of, since a lot of my books have sort of an Asian feel to them, I kind of wanted that, I guess someone would call it an Asian surrealist, sort of like an anime-esque feel, sort of a nouveau anime, or I guess you would see them a lot in computer games. So it's sort of a kind of a three-dimensional, yeah, realistic, yeah, and that's kind of the look I'm going for.
Yeah, I definitely saw that the Asian influences on the cover, it didn't scream anime at me, because that's like a very different art style.
Yes,
but
definitely.
But it definitely screamed like, you know, this is Asian influenced, and I think that's great. Asia, there's some really great stuff in mythology from Asia, you know, and great ideas and philosophy, and there's all sorts of like places you can get ideas from.
Find influences everywhere is kind of my opinion.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's sort of a shared like culture of humanity, you know, there's all sorts of great stuff you can find out there. So what is coming up for you next?
Well, it was kind of a passion project I just released, once again, a cyberpunk progression fantasy mashup, and then I have a story that I wrote in 2017. I'm just waiting on the cover from my artist, and he's like 3 weeks late now. and so that's probably next. It's the backstory to my regular series, basically in the Songs of Insurrection. Kaya kind of worships this famous dragon singer who sang a dragon to sleep, and it's actually her story, the story of the dragon singer who sang the last dragon to sleep. And it kind of turns everything you learned in Songs of Insurrection and the Dragon Song Saga on its head. So it's like, it's kind of the idea that we hold heroes up in these like very idealistic, you know, images and ideas, but in the grand scheme of things, they're just regular people as well.
So it's the adage, never meet your heroes, kind of at play.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've been disappointed.
Fair enough. All right. Well, where can our listeners connect with you on the internet?
Well, of course, there. If you do a search on JC Kong, it'll usually show up. You know, my Twitter feed, Instagram, Facebook, Amazon page, all those places will have my information.
Awesome. Well, it was really great talking with you, JC.
And thanks for having me.
Yeah, you have a good one.
You too.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com, and follow me on Twitter at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.